Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know there's a question whether you should play it safe with a savings account or let your dollars don a cape and fly into the stock market. Well, whether you're a mattress stuffer or a market maven, knowing when to save and when to invest can save you from serious financial facepalms. So we're going to find out which money deserves your applause today on the show and which one should stay in the piggy bank.
Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement. Kevin Brooker is along for the ride. In fact, he's behind the wheel, guiding us through, getting us there. He's been helping folks get to retirement for better than 30 years. Always a pleasure, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, and it's always good to be here. Always good to be here, Steve.
I like where we're headed with this thing, by the way. Well, first, I have to ask you, you were saying before we got started it was 117?
Yes, it was yesterday.
In your backyard?
It was yesterday. Yes, it was. I think today we're just a little bit over 100 so far, so it's, you know,
so
not
super,
there yet.
That's balmy. That's
oh, my gosh, right? Yeah, it's that, you know, just relax. Turn the AC off, sure. You know,
yeah, sure.
And I tell you, you know, when it gets this hot, and obviously we're in the desert, it's, you know, it was hot here before anybody moved here. So,
yeah, well, true. That's very true.
You know, but yeah, we've been close to breaking records. I believe the record was 118, and we came, you know, they were on like that record watch yesterday, saying we might break it. And you know, the frightening thing that I've been seeing is, okay, I'm a believer in climate change. Let me just put it out there and make it clear: the last 10 years are the hottest on record of any decade in history, and 2024 broke records. And a bunch of scientists, 60 scientists, signed a paper and came out collectively and said, can we please get more focused on climate change? It's real. You know, so yeah, it's hot. And, but unfortunately we got Margaret Green pushing space lasers and manipulating the weather, which she seems to believe in, but she doesn't believe in climate change. So I don't know what the hell. But yeah, make sure your AC is working, and if you don't, find one of the cooling centers. We got a lot of cooling centers in Phoenix now to help people if you don't have air conditioning.
All right.
But going back to the financial side of things, we're talking about saving and investing because I don't.
So
you know,
yeah, because there. I mean, I know a friend of mine says I'm not a saver. I am an investor. I invest everything. Mm-hmm. Is that a wise way to go?
I'm going to say not if it's literal, because I think everybody should have money in savings. Because in my view, that's where your emergency money should be for sure. Everybody should have emergency money. You know, a lot of times I tell people, I think 25, 30 grand for most people is a sufficient emergency fund. Mm-hmm. And that's something you should have in a money market account. You know, a savings account, if they're paying you at least, let's say, 3% interest. But you can get 4%, close to 4% in a lot of money markets now. There's no fees, there's no charges, and you can get the money out and it can be in your bank account in a couple days. So I suggest having that emergency fund, and that's for things, you know, like my AC broke down a few years ago, right? And mm-hmm. luckily it didn't do it in the heat of summer, but it cost me $8,000. And that was a couple of years ago, so I'm sure they're more expensive now.
Oh, of course.
But it was totally unexpected expense, right? And those are the sorts of things that happen. You know, we used to have I recently got rid of my wife's old vehicle. It was an 03. We had it for I had her drive it for 21 years before I agreed to get a new one.
Okay.
We maintained it. We took it to the shop, but I'll tell you what, we bought a GMC Yukon Denali in 2003, 1 month before I bought a Lexus ES300, 2003. My Lexus, I've done the oil changes, the maintenance, I've never had any other problems, ever. Her Denali, I can't tell you the dozens and dozens of problems that we had. We had to replace the motor that powers the electric window, driver's side electric window. We replaced that at least 5 times. And so anyway, in my opinion, Lexus is much more reliable. So we finally did, we sold that last year. I sold it myself because that's how I was able to get the best deal. And I negotiated a deal myself with the dealership, and we bought a Kia Telluride X line, which is, we always go Mama Bear. So if you get 3 choices, you know, Baby Bear, Mama Bear, Papa Bear, we always like to go in the middle. Say, I don't need top of the line. I don't need to pay for all these extra gadgets. There's nobody going to be in the back seat anyway. What I want a TV in the back of my seat.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I can't imagine.
Right. Yeah. So nonetheless, we did that. And what I'm getting at is that if we had waited to buy that Kia until now, it apparently would cost us another $13,000 because of the tariffs that Trump is imposing on Korea. So FYI, that's the reality.
Wow.
And 25% tariff. We paid low 50s, if I remember right. And if you are in the market for a car, and by the way, our plan is to keep this one for 20 years, because if anyone's, at least 20 years, if anyone's listened to me before on the show, I think vehicles are the apps, they are not an investment. We're talking about savings and investment. Vehicles are not an investment, period. They depreciate in value unless you happen to be a collector and you know how to identify something that's going to turn into a, you know, a $500,000 vehicle down the road, you know, 40 years from now. But don't think of a vehicle as an investment, please. Because you're going to lose money on it. And so I looked around in the used car market, but everything that's happened in the last couple of years in our economy, the price of used cars has gone up so much, it didn't make sense for me to go used when I could get a brand new one for not that much more.
And right, exactly.
But
that's sort of changing again a little bit, isn't it?
It is a dynamic that it's constantly, you know, moving one way or the other.
Yeah.
So I think it is changing again. You know, but I wanted the warranty, I wanted the latest technology, and I wanted the latest safety features. That's why I did it, because it's my wife's vehicle. She's the primary driver of it. And, there's been a lot of advancements in the last 22 years, right?
Absolutely.
So my point being, if you buy a new car, try to look at it as a long-term thing where you're going to hold on to it until you have to get another vehicle. Not just because you want one, right, but because you have to. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll find your money goes a lot farther doing it that way. I used to be, when I was younger, I bought a new car every 2-3 years, and I look back on it and say, man, how much money did I waste? So anyway, but a car is not an investment, okay? When we talk about investments, I'm talking about something like a stock that you buy and you plan on holding on to it for years, or mutual funds or exchange-traded funds or bonds, something that you plan to hold on for a longer period of time that you know is going to go through ups and downs. And that is not something that you want to think of as being your immediate source of funds if you ever need money for anything. In other words, you don't want to have to sell a stock or an investment in a time horizon that you didn't anticipate, because you're kind of cutting yourself short if you do that. And the truth is, it's very hard to determine or to estimate short-term movements in stocks. I've been trying to do it for 35 years. You know, and sometimes I can. I've got a better success rate than I had one in the beginning of my career, that's for sure. And I think better than most, you know, novices. But it takes a lot of time to kind of get the feel for the market and where the market's at and the sentiment's at. And then, pardon me, when you have something like our president come in with these spontaneous, impulsive moves on tariffs, adding a tariff, taking away, adding it, taking away, bitching and insulting and throwing all these names around, it's like kindergarten in the White House. And it is impossible for a business owner to plan when there's so much uncertainty. And so that's an added element of risk that we have in the market that we don't normally have. And I got to tell you, Steve, it drives me nuts when he alleges that Democrats are being political when he's the chief of it. He's the boss. This move on taxing, throwing a 50% tariff on Brazil is 100% political. All right. Brazil is one of the few countries that the U.S. has a trade surplus with. These tariffs were supposed to be to make trade fairer. He's famous for saying they've treated us very unfairly. Brazil has not treated us unfairly. We have over a $400 billion surplus over the last 15 years with Brazil. Surplus. What? There is no reason for him to put those tariffs on. He did it because the previous president followed in his footsteps, tried to establish a coup because he didn't like the election results, and then they stormed the Capitol. Sound familiar? That's why he's going after Brazil. It's because he's trying to stand up for the guy that followed in his footsteps, and now they want to throw him in jail, where some of us believe our president should be. All right? That's why he's doing it. So if you look at the actions of the politicians, guys, I think it's going to help explain what really motivates them. I think if you look at these floods in Texas, they're a horrible situation. These are like 8-year-old girls.
Oh, yeah. Young girls. Yeah.
You know, these floods wrote, well, did you hear the boys were able to escape. There were other boys' camps in the area that had warnings and were able to escape. But for some reason, the girls' camp didn't get those warnings. And what I'm seeing and what I'm reading, and this, I spend a lot of time reading The Guardian. It's an independent British publication. They don't take any ads. They don't take any advertising at all. And so to me, that means they're more likely to be objective. And what they pointed out is that in this horrible, ugly bill that just passed, is that it was Ted Cruz himself that inserted language into the bill, okay? And what it did is there was $150 million that was designed to accelerate advances and improvements in research, observation systems, modeling, forecasting, and dissemination of information to the public. That's $150 million that he yanked out of that budget. There was another $50 million that was pulled out that was also based on climate-related impacts on oceans, weather systems, and coastal ecosystems. Now, a lot of people I know don't seem to believe in climate change, but guys, that's what's going on. The Earth is hotter than it's ever been. The science points to it. The scientists, the empirical research point to it. So let's try to focus on the facts and boot these politicians out that slash the funding. The Texas Emergency Department, I believe it's called, they have twice asked for $1 million for an advanced warning system for this exact area. So they have software they could put in more monitoring devices to monitor the water level and ways to communicate it, put out warnings. The Texas Department has denied it twice in the last 8 years, all right? And now they're standing up there saying it's political when Democrats point this out. The fact is it's their actions that have caused this catastrophe, in my opinion. And I think we need to point it out, and we need to put more money into safety and protecting people, especially children. You know what? So sorry for getting off task. The politics of it all drives me nuts. When we're talking about investing, we're looking at a long time frame. When we're talking about saving, what I think of is saving for short-term things. You want to have savings put away for your emergency savings account. You want to have short-term money put away. If you're retired, I like to have I would suggest to have a year worth of income separately from your investment account, so if you're drawing off an investment account, we don't have to draw from it when the account's down. Like, one of the things we've talked about many times on the show before is something called sequence risk. And this is critical if you have stocks and bonds or investments that fluctuate in value. Okay, what it means is that the risk of returns, the sequence of those returns, makes a huge difference in the durability of your retirement portfolio. In other words, if you have $1 million and you start taking out 4% a year, and your first 3 years are like 1990, 91, 92, in that period of time,
yeah,
you did fantastic and your portfolio was bigger 10 years later, okay? But if you did the same thing in 2000, you left $1 million in stocks and bonds, start taking out your 4%, okay, just 3 years later, your account has been cut in half because the market dropped 40% between 2000 and October, I believe it was, of 2002, okay? Massive drop, and you're pulling out from that account while it's going down. That person went broke if they continued to withdraw that same amount of money, right? Same exact strategy, same exact amount of money. But the sequence of returns was different. The first example A saw very strong returns in the very early years, the first 10 years of the retirement. They saw fantastic returns. The other couple saw horrible returns, all right? So everybody that's planning on using this strategy, you need to understand that rule, right? You need to understand sequence risk, because the outcome could be devastating if you don't understand it. And so my point being, if you have money on the side that you can draw from, that you don't have to withdraw from your stock and bond portfolio, then you won't have to withdraw from it when it's going down. And that gives you the ability to withstand the storm, if you will, and stay invested, all right? Now, you always want to, whenever you sit down or you put the portfolio together, obviously, you want to be diversified and balanced. And if when the market sells off, if you feel like panicking or you get a lot of anxiety or stress when the market drops, then there's a good chance you're taking more risk with your investments than you should be. And because I can tell you, I've got clients that they don't want to take any risk. And they say, Kevin, I want to earn better than I can in a bank or a CD, but I don't want to take a risk of losing my money. I say, you know, I got some great ideas for you. I can get, and then by the way, I can still get 5.75% guaranteed for 5 years. Plain and simple, 5.75 guaranteed for 5 years. No fees, okay. No charges, no risk. All right? So first is that's where I start, Steve. I say, if you
I'd like to start there, yeah. Let's.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And when we sit down, we want to look at all your assets, all your liabilities, look at all of your income and all your expenses. Those are the four things we start with. And then we have our conversation about how much risk you want to take, your time frame, your ideas, and how you want to live your retirement, right? And I like to start off with the guaranteed money, because that to me is the bedrock. You know, if you think about that, Maslow's pyramid of needs, hierarchy of needs.
Okay.
I think it's what it's called. I'm going back in time a little bit. Psychology thing.
Yeah, right.
It's like a four level. There's like four levels, and the bottom level is basically like food and housing, right? And then it goes up to more esoteric things, and as you go on. But you need to start with the bedrock of having a place to live and food in your stomach and the money to pay your bills, right? And I believe that should be done with guaranteed income is what I'm saying. Because if we can cover all your expenses with guaranteed income, let's say it's interest off of your bonds or interest off of a fixed annuity, right? So if you've got 600 grand and you're earning 6% guaranteed, all right, which I was able to get until just about a month ago, I was getting 605. And so you put 600 grand in there, that kicks off 36,000 a year in interest, right? So you can take $3,000 a month in interest from your fixed interest investment, and the average Social Security check is $2,000. So if you're married, you got $4,000, plus mm-hmm. you're three, you got $7,000 a month. For most retired couples, an $84,000 income is plenty to do what they want.
Pretty good, yeah.
Right? And that's, yeah. You know, if your home is paid for, you don't have any other debt, you're sitting pretty good, right?
Sure, yeah.
And I think, so it's not an unattainable number. It's something you just have to focus on, and you want to focus on it by maintaining your liquidity with your savings investments. So if something unexpected comes up, you don't have to touch your investment portfolio. You take it from your emergency account, right? And you're getting income from other sources. The scenario I cite is, you know what, if we imagine the 600 in fixed interest, and now let's say we put 100 grand in a fund, okay? The fund, that is money that you can blow however the heck you want, all right?
Okay.
Do whatever
Sign
you want.
Sign me up.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't everybody still want to have a good time in retirement,
of
right?
Of course you do, yes.
You know, maybe you want to go to concerts. Maybe you want to, I don't know, you want to follow, you're a racing fan. Okay, this is me talking. And you want to follow the Formula One circuit around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? I would love to do that. You know, like just this week, if you went to England, you could have sat down and watched Wimbledon for some fantastic tennis. And then you can go about 2 hours outside of town. You can go to, what was it, Silverton, something like that, and you could watch the British Grand Prix, right? I think that'd be a fantastic vacation. And unfortunately, Europe's going to cost you 10, 12% more now than it did before Trump got in office, but that's another story, all right? My point being, I want to put money in a segregated account that you know is there for you to just do whatever you want, you know, for you to play golf, for you to travel, for you to buy gifts for your kids or grandkids, if that's something you want to do. You know, whatever it is you want to do, whatever hobby it is you have that costs money, I want you to take it from that fund, because then we're not going to disturb the other accounts. And I like to think of them as more pure plays, right? I want your brokerage account to be a long-term investment, pure play. We don't touch it until our plan, whenever our plan says we touch it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's usually several years from now. And because that's our hedge for long-term growth. So if you've got $1 million, I'd probably put $600 in fixed interest, $100 in a fund, and the other $300, I'd put it in some long-term investments. And that's what I would use as a hedge for inflation. That's how I would suggest a lot of people start looking, you know, start there, and then let's adjust it based on, do you want to take more risk, less risk, or how what you would like to see happen. Maybe there's another area you need to take care of too. But it's there's plenty of ways to skin the cat, so to speak.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If your income is coming from guaranteed things, you don't have to withdraw from an investment portfolio when the markets are down.
And again, that's just that's a fairly straightforward strategy, and certainly one that you can build on.
Yes, by all means, and there's certainly all sorts of ways we can embellish and enhance it. You know, there's some studies that have come out recently. I don't know if it was Fidelity or Vanguard or who it was, but there was a study that came out recently that said, you know, professionally managed portfolios tend to outperform by 1-2% a year versus the novice. And
sure.
So I think right there, that's where we earn our money back. That's where we earn the money that you're paying us, okay? It's because I can show you in the returns that it's worth the money and that you don't have to, you know, take more risk than necessary, which is a big part of what I do. A lot of clients' portfolios, when I first meet them, because everybody's got a portfolio, my minimum portfolio is $250,000. So they've got a portfolio when I meet them. And they show it to me, and a lot of times it might just be I've had some of those literally in one fund, just one fund.
Wow.
And you know, it was a target date fund, so it's diversified, but we can do better, to be honest. And I can show you in black and white. I can show you in color. All right, we can do better. And I think it's simply because a lot of people aren't really thrilled with their 401k providers. A lot of them aren't super impressed with the person that comes to their company or their plant or their office and talks to them about it. A lot of times those are very young advisors. That's where they start off, you know, and so you're getting somebody with, in a lot of cases, not a lot of experience. And so they wind up with very basic portfolios. And also it's limited. Your 401k is generally, you know, you've got a menu of investment choices you can pick. A lot of them might be 10, 12, 15 choices. And so that's what you're stuck with. So there are things you can do about that too. There are ways, for instance, if you want somebody else to manage your 401k, about half the companies in this country will let it be managed by an outside manager. So I don't have to take control of, you know, I don't have to move the account to my firm. I can manage it externally.
Okay.
If your company would allow it. So if you have a 401k that you're not happy with, you'd like some help with, give me a call, because that's something I might, depending on who you work, where it's at, I may or may not, like I said, it's about 50-50. But there's a lot of them that we can manage externally without any interruption to the contributions, to the company match, no interruptions at all.
Wow, I mean, what a great opportunity. If just for someone to check in, to check with you to see if that's a possibility.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Because you know what, Steve, a lot of people, they don't like this stuff.
I understand that. Yeah,
right?
Completely.
They don't like it. They're like, I have no interest in that. They're like, I know I should have money, but I just don't have any interest in it. And that's what they tell me. They're like, that's what I got you for.
Right.
And I say, you know what? That's perfect. That's what I'm here for. And obviously, if you're the type of person that loves studying these things, you like watching charts, and you like staying up on the news, and you enjoy it, that's a different story. All right?
Yep.
A lot of people do recognize, no matter what your education level is, by the way, I've got plenty of medical professionals, doctors, specialists in medicine that invest with me because they know that's where their expertise is, and they don't feel their expertise is in the financial markets, which makes perfect sense. And I'm very happy to do my part. So if you have a 401k that you'd like another opinion or you'd like to see if somebody else could manage it, just feel free to reach out, give me a call, and we can talk about it.
So here's a number, 800-975-6717, 800-975-6717. Better yet, just visit the website, silverleaffinancial.com. You can connect with Kevin there. You can send him an email. You can schedule your appointment. And as long as you're on the website, take a deep dive because you won't be disappointed.
Yes, by all means, guys. We're always trying to put up fresh content. So please take a look at it. If you want to schedule just a brief 10 or 15 minute phone call, you can do that directly on my website. There's a button in the bottom right corner of the homepage that links live to my calendar. So whatever times pop up, by definition, that means I'm available. And I will call you at that time. So please set it up. It's just 10 or 15 minutes to talk on the phone to see if it makes sense and to see if you feel like we're a good fit, that you'd like to sit down face-to-face and come into the office. So,
yeah, sure.
You know, so check it out. I think that's it's a protocol that's worked well for me. And so going back to saving, you know, the investing, the savings account, I think you should look at your savings account as to be there for an emergency, for unexpected expenses, you know, for short-term needs, if you will. Whereas your investment account should be there. I look at it as a longer-term investment, and that's something that I use and I feel is going to be a good hedge for inflation. Because the fact is, stocks have been one of the best investments historically. Okay, and so I think it makes sense. Even if you're okay, I've got clients in their 80s. I've actually got a couple clients. Right, I've got one in her 90. I got two clients in their 90s. One that's going to turn 90 in a few months. You know, so a lot of some of my clients have been with me for quite a while. But I still have one of them has never wanted any stocks, so she has no risk. There's nothing with risk. She has a bunch of annuities that she's very happy with. In fact, at one point, she had over 20 of them. Because when I first met her, I was still in Illinois. This was like 20 years ago. And she came to one of I used to do the lunch seminars and the dinner seminars, and she came to those. And then I would meet her, and she always wanted to meet at the library. She never wanted to meet, in her house. Right?
Okay.
Didn't want to come to my office. She was kind of a private woman, if you will. And she had five daughters. Her husband had passed away a few years earlier. And she had her money in Fidelity at the time, but she didn't like the volatility. And she says, "Kevin, I just want to earn a good return without having to worry about my money. But I don't want to take a chance on losing anything." And she had, you know, over $1 million, and this was 20 years ago. And so we talked about it, and I talked about how insurance, you know, annuities are, there's no FDIC insurance, but there is a state insurance fund because insurance products are regulated on a state level. And every state has an insurance and guarantee fund that will pay out in the event of insolvency of an insurance company. Now, I don't recommend you use this as a reason to take a risk on an insurance company, but just knowing that there is a backup fund, it's just on a state level instead of a national level. In that event, if that event were to occur.
Sure.
So the state would step in, take it over, they'd find a buyer, and they'd have another insurance company take it over, but your assets would likely be froze for maybe a year, year and a half while that's taking place.
Wow.
So what it boiled down to is at the time, the limit on coverage in Illinois was $100,000. And we were doing like fixed interest investments, things like that, you know, for 5 years where I knew the rate of return. And so I calculated that she could put in $77,000. And with compounding, by the end of the term, it would grow to $100,000, and she'd still be covered by the insurance. So
cool.
Because of that, okay, she couldn't put more than that amount with any one company, okay? So she wound up having over 20 different contracts, all different carriers, okay? And I built that portfolio for her because I want to make her happy. I want to make my clients happy. I want to do what they want me to do in the best way that I know how. So I always try to meet their goals and their objectives. Sometimes I have to point out maybe there's some other ways they need to think about something. But in this case, I could do it. It took more legwork. And because I have to be contracted with every company I represent.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right? So I had to sign contracting paperwork with, you know, 25 companies or something. But, hey, that's the nature of the beast. But you know what? She's still a client of mine. And she is now in her early 90s. And she sold her home in Illinois. She was in Hinsdale, which is a very nice neighborhood if anyone's looking for a home in Illinois.
Sure.
And I think the average home is like $800,000 there now. And anyway, she sold her home, and she moved in with one of her daughters that's in Oklahoma. And she's been living with her. Her daughter set up round-the-clock in-home care, which I have been helping her manage for the last several years. Like, in other words, I send her money. I manage the investments.
Sure, sure.
And recently, actually like a week ago, the daughter emailed me and she said, "You know, I'm in my 60s now and I've seen what these annuities have done for my mother. Can you help me to find something like that for myself maybe towards the end of the year?" And obviously the answer is yes.
Okay? Yes, of course.
But she's seen how they work, Steve, right? She's
yep.
seen it. She processes the RMDs, the required minimum distributions. A lot of her mom's money is IRA. And, you know, she sees the required minimum distribution. She's got some policies. I put them all in place. But some of them had some features that would pay you more money if you needed any type of care, whether it's in-home or you go to a facility, and the policy doubles your payment for 5 years. So if you're supposed to get $2,500 and this happens, the doctor certifies that you got to have some extra care, and they double your payment from $2,500 to $5,000 a month for up to 5 years. And after 5 years, it reverts to the original payment and continues to pay you for as long as you live, even if the account was already at zero. And an annuity is the only account that does that, guys. That's why for somebody that says to me, I want to make sure I never run out of money, I want to make sure I've got enough income to do what I want, an annuity is oftentimes something that you should take a look at, you know, to see if it might make sense for you. Now, it's not all balloons and lollipops, right?
Right. Well, let me ask you this.
You pay for it. There's a fee.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe someone sold me, or maybe I bought an annuity 8, 9, 10 years ago. Can I bring that to you and say, can we fix it, or is it okay?
Oh, God, yeah. By all means, please.
Okay.
That's exactly what I do. And be careful on this note. I've seen some people bring annuities to somebody that they only own for a year or two.
I was thinking, you know.
And a broker tells you to sell it because you're going to get hit with big old surrender charges. So be very careful with that. But if you have annuities in the past and you're not I'm glad you asked that, Steve, because if you have an annuity contract, if it was a fixed interest contract or an index annuity policy that was issued when interest rates were near zero,
mm-hmm.
chances are very, very good that I can get you much better terms, because the terms on those policies are dictated by the bond market interest rates. And so when interest rates were real low, were at zero, the index annuities, many of them had caps of 2 and 3%, meaning you're not going to make more than 3% a year because that's your cap. And that'll never change in that policy because the insurance company took that money and put it into longer term investments to match your surrender charge. So if you took out a 10-year contract, they took your money and they invested in options, they hedged it, and they bought zero coupon bonds, and they took the difference, and that's what they invested to try to make money. The zero coupon bonds guarantee the payment at the end of the term, and that's how they make money. So they put the surrender charges on there because if you cash it out early, they have to go into the market, close out their investments, which they might take a loss, and that's what they pass on to you. So if I've been doing this for 35 years, guys, I'm duly licensed in securities and life insurance products. So if you have an older policy, you're not sure if it's good, you don't understand something about it, or you're not happy with it, by all means, give me a call. I'll evaluate it free of charge. And I'll tell you if I can or can't, okay? There might be plenty of cases I cannot improve it. I'm not going to have anybody get hit with massive charges unless I know there's a way I can get them to recoup those charges. So if that's the case you're in, by all means, let me know. Give me a call. I'd be happy to help. And I'm happy to do it free of charge or obligation. Just go to my website, as I mentioned, and you can do it right there in the bottom right-hand corner of my webpage.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.